Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Positive news on the job front, but tough words from the Fed chief.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It sure seems like good news. Weekly unemployment claims dropped last week to 391,000, the lowest level since April. But is it enough to bring down the high jobless rate of more than 9%? Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said in a speech in Cleveland last night that he thinks the country has an unemployment crisis. Marketplace's Heidi Moore is with us now from our New York bureau to talk about it. Morning, Heidi.
Morning, Steve.
So this weekly report seems a bit better than we've seen lately. Are things turning around?
Well, it's good that this report is better, but it's also influenced by other things. The Labor Department talked about technical issues, which means they're not quite sure about the information, whether they can trust it. We'll know better next Thursday when we have a more full unemployment report. But the trends so far don't look really good. We're probably going to lose even more jobs. I talked to Robert Tipp. He's the chief investment strategist at Prudential Fixed Income, and he explained why.
We're having very consistent losses of government jobs coming from the government side, and then the private sector has to offset those and create more jobs. You know, if we're going to burn through this and get the unemployment rate down.
Can the private sector do that, Heidi?
Not right now. You have to think back to when the recession allegedly ended. If you believe economists, they say this recession started in December 2007 and ended in June 2009. And ever since then, we've been in a recovery. Well, as you know, realistically, it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah.
If this isn't a recession, it walks like one and it talks like one. And also, in most recessions, we make up all the jobs that were lost within 4 years. So it's almost 4 years after December 2007. And we have only lost more jobs. So that tells us that we have a lot of work to do, and that's why the administration is looking at things like infrastructure and healthcare, but who knows if it's going to be enough.
Trying to get things moving. All right, Marketplace's Heidi Moore in New York. Heidi, thanks.
Thank you.
The German parliament voted overwhelmingly today to expand the size and power of the Eurozone bailout fund. It is a big step toward trying to fix Europe's debt crisis. Now, one interesting twist with that crisis is the prospect of getting help, perhaps, from some of the world's emerging economies, the so-called BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. That last country, South Africa, is the weakest in the whole group, leading some to ask whether it should be on the hook to help wealthier countries. Lyle White is director of the Center for Dynamic Markets at the Gordon Institute of Business Science, and he joins us now from Johannesburg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Is South Africa in a position financially to help Europe solve its debt crisis?
I don't think South Africa is in a position at this stage to help any European country solve their debt crisis. We've got a number of our own domestic problems, and the notion of assisting European countries solve their debt crisis, it's one way that the BRIC countries are using their leverage to help stimulate economic growth on a global level once again.
What have the BRICS countries been saying about this whole situation?
We've seen for perhaps the first time a collection of prominent emerging markets come up with a solution for the traditional mature or developed markets in solving their financial woes, which is really a major reversal of fortunes, if you like, from just 10 years ago.
I know South Africa's economy isn't as big as the other BRICS nations, but are South Africans worried about the European debt crisis sending them into recession?
South African business is very, very concerned because we do rely very much on markets in Europe and the United States, in those markets that might be suffering from some type of economic slowdown, and in the case of Europe, potential collapse. Our trade balance is very much skewed in the direction of Europe and to a lesser degree to the United States, whereas countries like China, India, and Brazil have diversified themselves a lot more than what South Africa has done over the last 5 to 6 years.
Dr. Lyle White over at the Center for Dynamic Markets. Dr. White, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let's do the numbers. The markets are mixed at the moment. The NASDAQ is down about 0.5% right now. The S&P is up 0.5%, and the Dow is much higher, more than 1% higher, 128 points at 11,139. European markets are mixed as well. Word this morning from the government that the nation's economy grew at a revised 1.3% in the second quarter. That is just a bit higher than the 1% growth that was announced last month. London is a bit lower, as I mentioned. European markets are mixed. Asian shares were mixed today as well.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The British government's crying foul over a proposed European-wide tax on financial transactions. The tax is aimed at helping the Eurozone deal with its debt crisis. But the Brits fear it may damage their financial center. More from London now on Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
It's called the Robin Hood tax, taking money from the rich financial institutions and giving it to the poor governments of Europe. The tax would levy 0.1% on every EU financial transaction. That's every deal by banks, brokers, hedge funds, pension and insurance companies based here. The European Commission reckons the tax could raise nearly $80 billion a year. But British Treasury Minister Mark Hoban says Europe could be shooting itself in the foot.
If it's not done at a global level, it's not done as part of a comprehensive package, then people will find ways around it. They'll move business out of Europe somewhere else. So I think there's a lot of detail to be looked at.
London's financial centre is by far the biggest in Europe and could wind up paying 80% of the revenue raised from the Robin Hood tax. Officials here say the UK is certain to veto the plan. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, in Atlanta, the Georgia Institute of Technology, Georgia Tech, has an expensive prank problem. Students have thought it was funny for years to steal the T's off of signs all over campus. Stadium signs, even street signs. Game's been played for a long time. The school spent more than $100,000 replacing those T's. Now it has an amnesty program for people to turn those T's back in by tomorrow. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Technology, social media. It's more than just a screen name and a password, you know, and it all boils down to just one thing. Me.
What's interesting is we are living in such an autobiographical age. I mean, every text and post and email and tweet, everything is you trying to express yourself in all these new mediums.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, an autoblogography on being connected. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.